ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 70. We're going to be bringing you a review of the Curse of Osiris weapons. Those are specifically the 10 verse weapons that you get, 11 if you count the bonus one, from basically grinding materials on Mercury from public events and chests and things like that. So we're going to talk about those weapons. Let's get the introductions out of the way first. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Mercules, man, I'm doing as well as can be expected. People who hang out with me on Twitter know I'm kind of having a rough week, but, you know, I'm coming out of it, I think, with a good attitude and a good outlook. You know, the important things are working out for me, so cannot complain too much. Excited to talk about some Destiny.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lesson the Destiny community could learn. You got to stay positive when things aren't necessarily going your way. As for myself, the Jaguars are guaranteed a playoff spot, so I'm pretty damn happy with that. The first time in 10 years we've been to the playoffs, so I'm very, very happy. But yeah, we're going to be going over, there's 10 verse weapons and then one, I guess we'll call it a bonus weapon that comes from a quest there at the end after you finish first 10. We're probably not going to go over the specific stats and everything for every weapon because unfortunately, a few of the weapons are weapons that I would not use in the majority of circumstances. I think there are better options out there, so we'll probably breeze through those that we don't really like too much and spend a little bit more time on the ones that we do like. So we're going to start just in order of number one. It is the Garden Progeny. Garden Progeny 1. And what it is, it's a 150 RPM, which means a high impact frame scout rifle. It is a kinetic. This is one of those weapons that's not that great. In terms of perks, you got the choice between tactical mag, steady rounds, and armor piercing rounds, and then you have Outlaw as the bonus. Outlaw is a perk that I like for PvE and PvP, but the problem is the 150 high impact archetype is just total shit in this game right now. It takes 4 crits to kill in PvP against anybody over mid resiliency. And the fact of the matter is, it only kills in 1.2 seconds, which means a Midas is going to kill just as fast. The Midas is going to have more accuracy. A Midas is going to have more aim assist. And in PvE, they just don't do enough crit damage to really make up for the fact that they're so slow firing. I mean, 150 rounds per minute, you might as well be using a hand cannon, because at least a hand cannon can kill most red bar enemies with one crit shot, which the high impact scouts cannot. So overall, I tried to give this gun a shot. It was the first one I picked up, and I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah, I think I think you said everything that there is to say about that gun. It's I spent some time with it in PvE, grinding materials for some of the other weapons, and I probably won't ever use it again. Not because I hated it, but just because there's just nothing to make me want to go back to it. Nothing special at all. So. The second weapon in our list, verse 2, is the Conqueror 2, a kinetic adaptive submachine gun. This submachine gun gives you a choice between steady rounds, extended mag, and tactical mag with kill clip as the single or the bonus perk there. I think kill clip is a phenomenal perk on any weapon. And anytime you get a weapon that kills quickly and that has kill clip, I think it's at worst giving it a try. This is not a weapon we've been able to really give a try yet, but I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it. The adaptive submachine guns are a bit slower than most other submachine guns at a 1 second optimal time to kill, but they do only take 50% headshots to hit that optimal, which means you can hit it a lot more consistently. And in some cases, you're going to be able to outshoot your enemies because of that. And then kill clip, of course, giving you a 30% damage bonus when active is nothing to sneeze at. So that's my take on it. This is something that's going to be worth picking up and at least giving a shake.
Yeah, the Conqueror 2 is probably going to be a lot more potent on PC, just because we've seen that SMGs on PC are really, really super powerful with how little recoil they have. And recoil with an SMG is obviously its main drawback. Like you said, the adaptives, I mean, they're just ultra-forgiving weapons. There's only a 2-frame difference between the time to kill with crit shots and with body shots. So you don't even really need to aim for the head. If you get a couple headshots, it's basically just a bonus. You're going to be killing in about a second flat or 1.07 seconds flat with this gun as long as you hit all your shots and just aim at the body. So that makes them really, really nice. Probably the most famous example of an adaptive is the Risk Runner. And this is pretty similar to it. Like you said, Kill Clip is definitely a tier 1 perk for PvP. Even for PvE, really, although I can't really imagine you using a kinetic submachine gun in PvE. And the problem is it has to go up against the Antiope and the Adjudicator, which are the 600 RPMs, because those are kinetic as well. So, you know, if you don't have one of those, if you're looking for a submachine gun to use, particularly if you're on PC, Conqueror is probably a pretty good choice, if not necessarily the best choice. It is better than a lot of the other 900 RPM options that you have.
Yeah, that's a, it's a tough slot to compete in, definitely. But I think at the very least, for variety's sake, it's going to be worth your time investment. So why don't you go ahead and take verse 3?
Yeah, the next one's the Jack Queen King 3, and it's a lightweight, which means 150 rounds per minute. It's a lightweight hand cannon. And now this archetype of hand cannons, in my opinion, is actually underutilized on console. On PC, we've seen the Sunshot get a pretty huge surge in popularity, with good reason, because they're so much more accurate on PC than they are on console. But even on console, the lightweight hand cannons are actually pretty nice. They're a little bit more of a spammable hand cannon than some of the other ones, just because they've got that faster rate of fire, and range isn't quite as important in Destiny 2 as it was in Destiny 1. The problem with the Jack Queen King 3, even though it's a great archetype, it's got a pretty fair perk set until you get to the last perk, where it's got Pulse Monitor, which is basically one of the most useless perks that has ever existed in any Destiny universe. And that alone right there takes a gun that stat-wise is actually, you know, relatively competitive for its archetype, and basically just puts it straight in the do not use column, because it's a wasted perk slot for Pulse Monitor. I mean, you're just almost never in PvP going to really see a benefit of partially reloads the magazine when you're critically wounded, at least. And my experience playing with it, I have literally never seen a benefit to it. I don't think there's been one time where I said, oh, thank God for Pulse Monitor.
Really? No.
And usually I do a pretty good job of, like, you know, trying to notice when a perk affects me, because that's how I start ranking my perks, is I go and I play with a gun and I see how often does this perk noticeably affect me. And if I, like, notice it a lot right away, I'm like, damn, this is probably pretty nice. If I don't notice it, I start, like, actively looking for it. Like, okay, well, I haven't noticed it yet, but maybe it's doing something and I'm just not noticing it. With Pulse Monitor, I don't ever notice it even when I'm looking for it. So most of the time when I'm critically wounded, I've already either finished the engagement and I was going to reload anyways, or I'm being team shot and I'm dead. So it just doesn't really ever help me. But, you know, your mileage may vary. I will say I do like the archetype. I just don't like this particular example in the archetype.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's too bad, because it's really close, I think, to being a pretty decent choice in that archetype. But I think ultimately you're going to be better off with something like a Dire Promise or a Shattered Peace. They're just going to have much better perk sets. And they've got, at the very least, they've got comparable stats across the board, so they're going to work out a lot better for you. The Jack Queen King, it's got great stats, but that last perk, yeah, that's all you can say. Well, the next weapon on our list here, verse number 4, is the Machina Day 4. This is a high impact pulse rifle. Now, your first instinct is probably to totally dismiss pulse rifles in general, for the most part, except for maybe the rapid fires. If you really, if you just really love pulse rifles, I love the rapid fires. But the high impacts, by and large, get ignored, and for good reason. They actually have a great feel to them, until you die and realize that they just don't do enough damage, and that's been the case with all of the other high impact pulse rifles that I've played with. But what makes the Machina Day a little bit different for me, and it actually makes it a gun that I'm probably going to pick up again, is that it does have high caliber rounds in its selectable perk slot. So it's got high caliber rounds, appended mag, tactical mag, and then it has a fixed perk of Ambitious Assassin, which is really too bad, because that hamstrings this weapon for PvP. And frankly, I don't see it as a perk that has any real value for a slow firing pulse rifle in PvE either. But high caliber rounds actually gives this weapon a chance to compete, because it hits pretty hard, and I found that I was able to pretty consistently 3-burst with this gun at a fair distance, what I would consider kind of a mid-range for auto rifles and scout rifles. This weapon was still performing well. I was still winning a good chunk of my gunfights against people wielding what are probably objectively better weapons. And I can't attribute that entirely to skill. So I think there's probably something to the flinch effect that's still helping me out there.
Machina Day 4, I gave it a shot. I'm still just not a fan of the slow rate of fire. I mean, I came from basically abusing high impact weapons for all of year 2 and year 3 in Destiny 1. I mean, I love the Ludmilla, I love the Spare Change, I love the Parthian Shot, I love the Chaos Dogma, and the high impact weapons have just been hit with a damn hammer in Destiny 2. They don't do nearly enough precision damage. They don't have that high risk, high reward trade-off they had in Destiny 1. In Destiny 1, the high impact weapons specialized in killing faster than everything else if you hit all your crit shots, but killing slower than everything else if you miss. Now, the high impact still kills slower than everything else if you miss. The body shot on the Machina Day 4 is 2.27. Now, we actually did the math on this earlier before the show, and that's if you hit only body shots. If you basically hit any crit shot at all, you're not going to need 2.27 seconds to kill. It's actually closer to 1.7, 1.83, somewhere around that area, depending on how many shots in the fourth burst you need, which isn't terrible. It makes it competitive with like the Nightshade, a little bit slower than Lincoln Green, stuff like that. That's not horrible. It pretty much guarantees that you're going to be killing between 3 and 4 bursts with this weapon, which is not bad, like you said. You know, the problem with that to me is that the optimal time to kill is still only 1.2 seconds, which is exactly equal to the Mida, which is slower than the Uriel's. And it doesn't quite offer the upside that I'm looking for on it. But like you said, it does have high caliber rounds. There aren't too many weapons outside of the meta auto rifles and Mida, obviously, that have high caliber rounds that I think you can use. So if you're enjoying it, I mean, it does have fantastic range. It's got great recoil direction that probably combines to make it feel really nice and sticky and have a great vertical recoil spread, which is very easy to control. And, you know, in PvE when I was using it, it did feel great. It was a good gun to play with, but it's just, to me, the upside just isn't there.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair to say. The recoil direction does a lot for it, in my opinion. It felt so easy to stay on target, whereas, frankly, the other high-impact pulse rifles really, I found to be a little bit more of a struggle to keep on target and hit the headshots, which just made them that much harder to use. So I think that's kind of what makes this one stand out for me and what warrants a little more discussion. It's too bad. This is something else we talked about earlier. It's really too bad that Ambitious Assassin is not just a separate fixed perk for all of the raid weapons, and that they couldn't throw something actually useful on there for us as well. Because I think that would make this gun a lot more fun to use if it had something really really useful in that fixed slot instead of just giving you extra rounds in the already fair-sized mag.
So up next we have Traveler's Judgment 5, which is a sidearm. This is probably the gun that I am the most excited about to get my hands on out of this entire batch of weapons. It is the first instance of an adaptive burst sidearm that is not an actual Omalon gun. So it's just considered an adaptive archetype, but it does, at least according to the, you know, database, fire a 3-round burst. It's got the 491 rate of fire, which is the exact same as the Omalon archetypes. And on top of that, it has a perk that wouldn't do very much use if it wasn't a burst weapon. It actually has Headseeker, and that's what makes me so, so excited about it. And that's on top of having armor-piercing rounds, accurized rounds, or steady rounds. So there you go. You can basically choose between doing more damage to shields in PvE with armor-piercing, having more range with accurized, or having more stability with steady rounds. I'm very, very excited to get my hands on this gun. Not stat-wise, necessarily. The stats on it aren't great. It doesn't really compare quite as favorably as I'd like with stuff like The Last Dance and The Last Hope. It's got, the range is pretty good. The stability is pretty good. The aim assistance is okay. The recoil direction is not great. It's actually the lowest out of all the recoil directions for this archetype of weapon, besides the Eulogy, but nobody touches the Eulogy anyway, so let's ignore that one. It's got an 89 recoil direction. The Last Dance, for comparison, is 97. The Last Hope is 93. Now, like I said, they all have 70 aim assist, which is pretty great. The Last Dance has 86 base stability. The Traveler's Judgment has 84. But I'm just totally stoked. Now, of course, the Last Dance has Moving Target, which gives you increased target acquisition stray speed when you're ADS, which is a super useful perk, probably the top perk in the game. And then the Last Hope obviously has the ability to just max out stability. You're not going to be able to do that with the Traveler's Judgment, unfortunately. You're not going to get either of those two bonuses. But like I said, Headseeker, you're almost never going to be hitting straight headshots with these weapons. They're spam the trigger weapons from close range, and because of the burst pattern where they shoot two low and one high, you're almost always going to be getting body shot, headshot, or body shot, headshot, headshot, depending on how you control it. And Headseeker is only going to help you out. It's only going to make the gun more forgiving. So I'm really, really excited to get my hands on this one.
Yeah, I have to concur with everything you just said there. I did a little bit of math on Headseeker, and it should make, at the very least, killing in three bursts more consistent than the other guns. I think it takes one less headshot to do that with assuming a 5% damage bonus, which I think is what we've seen before from Headseeker. So it really looks like it's going to be a solid weapon. Obviously, it's going to bear testing when we get our hands on it. We'll have to take a look at the hard numbers in the real world, or the real fictional world. But it's got great potential to be just something that puts a little more variety into your weapon choices. One of the other things I thought was really interesting about this gun is that it's adaptive, but not Omalon adaptive. Although it does appear that it functions the same. It's got the same rate of fire, and so we assume for the moment that it's going to end up with the same damage, and everything across the board. But I thought it was interesting that it was made by somebody else. And taking a look at the picture of the gun, I mean, I know these are all kind of like cobbled together from Vex Technology, but I thought it was kind of interesting that it had like a T symbol on there. So I kind of was wondering if maybe one of the vendor weapons might have gotten modified by Vex Technology. Maybe we had some kind of a Tex Mechanica influence in there. So just kind of a tower thought there, looking at it. But it's a cool looking gun, and can't wait to get my hands on it too.
It definitely does not have that Omalon aesthetic that we're used to seeing from the adaptive sidearms. But up next is the Soul Pariah 6. This is one of those interesting, it looks like the base was an Omalon, one of the 900 RPM elemental sidearms. But, you know, this one's a mixed bag. It's got Grave Robber, which is perhaps, behind Pulse Monitor, one of the other worst perks. Actually, this one might be worse than Pulse Monitor, if I have to guess. It's melee kills reload a portion of the magazine. In PvP, that's basically totally useless. In PvE, it's also totally useless. But what it does have, and that brings it up, is it has Phase Magazine, which Phase Magazine is that special perk that we see on some 900 RPM SMGs that actually brings it down to a 600 RPM SMG, makes it a lot easier to control. It's nice, actually. I've been playing with it a little bit today. It's nice. It's not great. I don't think it's going to take the Antiope out of contention for best SMG. But I definitely find the 600 RPM models to be so much easier to control than the 900s, and I actually like it a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to choose it over the Out of Options or the Phosphorus simply because Grave Robber is unbelievably terrible, and I see no reason at all to use that as my last slot. But if you don't have one of those two, or you're looking for something just a little bit different, you want to use one of the Mercury weapons, and then this one's not bad.
So the only thing I can really say for Grave Robber is that if you really want to use an SMG in PvE, you can keep this weapon loaded really easily by just meleeing the lower health red bar enemies, and then, you know, getting up close. If you really want to just kind of go nuts and like go ham on Vex and just charge in, it's kind of fun. But it's not a perk that I would call like effective or something that's going to help you against challenging content. It makes content that's relatively easy a little bit more fun, because you can just, like I said, you can just charge in completely go ape on them, and you're not going to run out of ammo. So,
and for comparison, just because I need to throw this out there, the auto options and the phosphorus, the other two that are similar to this, they both have phase mag. Auto options has pulse monitor as its last perk, so basically ignore that. But the phosphorus has dynamic sway reduction, which basically when you hold down the trigger, the weapon sway reduction system boosts accuracy. So it's basically persistence from Destiny 1. So I would definitely go with the phosphorus if you're going to use a weapon like that. But if you don't have the phosphorus, well, then maybe you can pick it up.
Yeah, for those who don't know, accuracy in Destiny means does it shoot in a straight line where you're pointing? That's obviously with an SMG, that's really useful to really reduce any possible bloom and keep it on target. You still have to aim at the enemy, but it does make it a lot easier to consistently hit those headshots or even the body shots.
And the next weapon up is another hand cannon. It is a kinetic hand cannon. It's called West of Sunfall 7. It's actually a new archetype that they introduced with Curse of Osiris. It's the 180 RPM archetype. I believe we're calling it the precision frame archetype. Now, I haven't gotten a chance to play too much with the 180 RPM hand cannons. I got one. I got the new Crucible one. They feel good as far as hand cannons go, but in terms of how much damage they do, it is very, very low. Extremely low. So far, in fact, that I believe these guns are probably the next closest thing to useless. It takes 5 shots to kill optimally. It's 3 crits and 2 bodies. Which is 1.33 seconds, which is, I believe, the slowest optimal time to kill of any primary weapon in the game. And then on top of that, the body shot time to kill is 2 seconds, which is like the third lowest body shot time to kill. And it takes 7 body shots to kill. Now, you can kill lower resiliency targets in 6 body shots, which is like 1.66, which is still good, but still not as fast as the lightweight hand cans, which, you know, are basically better in every facet. So I'm not particularly sure what purpose these hand cannons serve other than feeling good but not killing fast enough. But I'm not a super huge fan of it. And then on top of that, it's got auto-loading holster. I mean, it does have high caliber rounds, but I'm not a fan of the West of Sunfall 7.
Yeah, I looked at that archetype and I just kind of thought to myself, what is this for? It kind of reminds me of like some of the wild sidearm archetypes they gave us at the end of Destiny 1, where I'm just like, why is this in the game? And I think like the only thing I can really think is these guns don't really have better range than the lightweights. They kill slower. They do have better stability, and obviously because they're precision, their recoil direction is essentially going to be vertical. But a lot of the lightweights also have vertical recoil direction, and the precisions have less ammo. So there's not really a selling point that I'm seeing. The only thing I can really think is that they do make the lightweight hand cannons look a lot better than they did by comparison. And maybe you'll look at a precision, you'll look at a lightweight, and you'll think, oh, maybe I should give this you know, Dire Promise a try. I don't know. I don't know what to make of them either. It's a bizarre...
Besides that, it doesn't really seem to make any sense. I mean, I can't really recommend them. Maybe they'll buff them at some point, but...
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Not a fan. Now, on the other hand, the eighth weapon, Infinite Paths 8, is a weapon I actually am kind of a fan of, at least on paper. It's the 450 RPM archetype of pulse rifle. It is an elemental pulse rifle. Now, what I like about the 450... RPM archetype isn't necessarily the best, but you can be competitive with it. If you remember, that's the same as the Nightshade, it's the same as the Agenda 5. So it's not amazing, it's not dominant. It's probably not better than a Uriel's or a Number or something like that, but you're not going to be at a huge disadvantage using it. And the reason I like it so much is because it has Dragonfly. And it is not a super useful perk, I will be totally honest. All it does is create an elemental damage explosion on precision kills, but I more than anything love being rewarded for getting headshots. It's why I think Outlaw is a great perk, and I love Dragonfly for it. It's not as big as Firefly was in Destiny 1, but it's still a nice little explosion. It can damage enemies in PvE and make them easier to kill. It could damage enemies in PvP. Sometimes, if you're very lucky, get a kill with it. And really, I just love that response I get from seeing an enemy that I headshot just detonate and explode. I absolutely freaking love it. And on top of that, I mean, stat-wise, it's not bad. It's got four pulse rifles in general. It has great reload speed, great handling, great aim assist. I mean, 76 aim assist is like the fourth highest aim assist out of all pulse rifles. Now, the recoil direction is total shit. It's at 59, so I highly, highly recommend running it with one, perhaps two, energy counterbalance perks if you can. And the range is pretty terrible. I mean, for the archetype, it's actually good. 37 is the highest in the archetype. But that's not high at all compared to something like the Machina Day 4, which has 71. And then stability-wise, it's at 55, which I'm going to say it's above average stability. I think if you run it with a counterbalance perk, maybe two, you won't have any issues with the stability at all. I'm definitely liking this weapon.
Yeah, I never really was all that sold on the lightweights. I felt like they really got hit hard after the beta, and I never really went back to them. But I can't argue with the joy that comes from watching an enemy explode. That's, looking back, like, that's one of the things that I always loved the best about Icebreaker that made it such an iconic weapon, aside from infinite ammo, was that just everyone that you killed exploded. And that's just kind of a fun aspect, right? It's not necessarily something that is quantitatively good, but it is it qualitatively adds to the experience, and that's not nothing. So I'll pick this one up. I'll give it a shake on your recommendation and see how it feels.
Yep. And then next up is the Null Calamity 9. It's a 600 RPM adaptive auto rifle.
Yeah, and so this one, it's an energy weapon. This gun's got, I guess I wouldn't call it stellar perk choices for the most part. It's got flared magwell, tactical mag, and appended mag, and then it's got Zen Moment, which I do like. I found Zen Moment to be pretty effective on all the weapons that have it in terms of boosting the stability. So that is going to be something that plays in its favor in PvE especially. I've tried since the balance patch, I've really tried hard to use adaptive auto rifles in PvP, and I've just not had a whole lot of success. They just don't have the range to really compete. At least in my hands, is what I'm finding. So, for me, this is a gun I'll probably add to the collection, but I don't know that I'm going to take it out very much.
I like the 600s. You know that I'm an anti-meta whore. I refuse to basically play with anything that anyone else is using. So I've used the Forward Path. I've used the Ghost Primus. Both of those are obviously kinetic 600 auto rifles, but they're very, very similar to the Null Calamity. The problem with the Null Calamity is it's almost like a little bit of a trade-off. You get Zen Moment, but it has totally shit stability on its own by default. It has 36, which is actually the third lowest of any auto rifle in the game. So the stability is terrible by default, but Zen Moment basically immediately counteracts that once you start doing damage. It also has really poor recoil direction. So again, just like with the pulse rifle, you're going to want to run double energy counterbalances, or at least a single energy counterbalance on it. It's got great reload speed, good range, actually, for the archetype. 54 range is about 10 less than what you're going to see out of something like, well, not a Uriel's. A Uriel's has an insane amount of range at 70, but something like the Jiangshi or the Number is only at 64. So you're not too far behind on that. Mag size is 44, which is pretty decent. It's okay. And then the handling, the aim assist is 65, so you're about 10 higher than what you're going to get with Uriel's, which is nice. Overall, you're not picking up this gun for the stats necessarily. The adaptive archetype did get a small boost by proximity with the tiny damage hit that the precision archetype got. It's really mostly for the fact that Zen Moment has a really great effect on auto rifles. Because they do so much damage so quickly, you hit Zen Moment's maximum bonus basically immediately. Within the first, third of a second or so that you're shooting, you're already at its maximum effect. So the reason they probably give such bad stability by default is because if they didn't, it would have literally no recoil at all. So I do recommend this gun. Is it going to replace Uriel's? I mean, probably not. The thing is, Uriel's just has too good of range. It just has too good of reach right now. You're not going to find too many things that beat it out. But if you want to try something different, without handicapping yourself, I do think the Null Calamity 9 is a good option.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I don't hate this archetype. I actually love this archetype in PvE, although I think there are probably better PvE adaptive auto rifles out there. But yeah, this is, it's a Zen Moment is hard to argue with it as a perk. It's really phenomenal. I think you said it best there. So, what do we got left here? Verse 10.
The sword and the shotgun. Yeah,
so let's take a look at that sword here. Verse 10 is Future Safe 10. So this is a sword. So if you like swords, you might want to pick it up. And if you don't, then you probably don't care. And that's... That's kind of the extent of it for me. It's got an interesting perk that I don't recall seeing before in any of my swords, but I don't play a whole lot with swords, so maybe I just missed it. So it does have Jagged Edge or Hungry Edge, so either better damage or more ammo. It's got a choice between low efficiency and high defense or balanced efficiency and defense. And then it's got a perk called On Guard, where quick attacks immediately after swapping to this sword do additional damage, which I guess sounds interesting to me. You know, it's something that if you're trying to use a sword to DPS some kind of a major up close, it could be useful. You pull it out and you slam some bonus damage into it. But I think ultimately, like, it doesn't have, you know, like, Tireless Blade or anything like that. So ultimately for me, it's probably going to be not a sword that I use. I just like getting the bonus ammo. That's what gets me to use a sword.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of swords that give you bonus ammo as well, simply because I'm so much more of a PvP player that all swords are basically a one-hit kill. I mean, I haven't found a sword that I can decrease the damage so much that it takes more than one swing to kill someone. So I don't really see a need to buff the damage. I would much rather use a sword that will grant me more ammo so I can continue to abuse the sword, especially with my Invisible Hunter. But yeah, besides that, I mean, if you like swords, you'll probably want to collect it. Otherwise, you're just going to do it at some point in time anyways as you get through the verses. And then there's also Saint 14 Shotgun, the Perfect Paradox. It's a pretty cool shotgun. It's got Rampage, which is really, really great. It's a rapid fire archetype, which means it's actually full auto, and it's got a pretty fast RPM for a shotgun at 100 rounds per minute, so a little bit less than a little bit under 2 shots a second. Flared magwell for faster reloads, steady rounds for increased stability, or accurized rounds for increased range. And then Rampage, like I said, I mean, it's going to be a great ad cleanup tool. It's just going to melt through red bars. And based on the fact that it's got such a fast rate of fire, it probably is going to do pretty great damage to bosses too, if that's your type of thing. I don't know too many people who are going to use it over like a rocket launcher or maybe a fusion rifle. But I'm expecting it to be very, very powerful in the right hands and probably pretty damn good in PvP too. Plus, just on top of that, it's possibly the coolest looking shotgun we've seen in the game.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Absolutely. And it's kind of got, you know, it's got that nice allure, I guess, where it's, you know, from Saint 14 and that kind of, you know, for those of us who've been playing for a long time, that stirs some nostalgia maybe that kind of makes you want to take it out and play with it. I was impressed with the gun overall, stat wise, perk wise. I don't have any complaints. You know, Rampage, like you said, is just such a great perk. You can stack that up to a 30% damage bonus, which is going to make it super effective. You know, you can clean up a couple of adds and then just go pump a full mag into a nearby major or boss, and you're just going to melt them. You'll burn through ammo like crazy, but it's going to feel really good.
But the good thing is it's got the largest inventory of any shotgun, and it's got a 7 mag size, and it's got really fast reload speed of 68. So,
yeah.
I mean, bam.
Phenomenal, absolutely. And I am somebody who, just to be different, will take a shotgun and go DPS a boss, even if they have a stomp. I don't care. I'm just going to jump over that and shotgun them in the face and then back off, reload, do it again. That's So this really is the perfect gun for that kind of play style. If you just like to, and that's maybe that's a theme here. For some of these guns aren't always the best, although Perfect Paradox is actually probably one of the better ones. But there are a few of them that have a fun factor, and I really enjoy playing this game like I'm some kind of a homicidal maniac who's died so many times that he just doesn't care. He just runs in and tries to kill everything as quickly as he can. And I do that on a hunter, so it has mixed results for me. But that's just how I like to play in PvE. I just, you know, if I'm not trying to complete a raid, I'm just goofing around. I'm just trying to have fun. So that this gun really, really hits that sweet spot for me. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Perfect. Well, I think that's probably it as far as the Crescent Osiris weapons go, specifically the Mercury ones. Obviously, there are a lot more weapons. There's new Vanguard weapons. There's new Crucible weapons. We will talk about those at a later point in time.
If I could interrupt you, there was one other just really quick bit of info on the Forge weapons I wanted to include, and that was just where you need to go to get the materials, because farming them is interminable. And you can go and if you go and just look at the verse you have, if you inspect it will tell you where you need to go to get them. But just as a quick note, I've spent a fair amount of time this weekend farming, the fossilized Hermaean blossom is really easy to get from trials. I found I played one card, got three wins, and got three of those blossoms, which is the most you can hold at one time. So that was great, but you can also get it from Nightfalls and Heroics. The Radiolarian culture you can only farm by running around on Mercury Patrol. The base one that you need to get 10 of comes from public events and chests, and then the rare version that you just need, basically those are equal to 10 of the common ones, only come from public event chests. So you really want to make sure you're activating the Heroic every time if you want to collect those quickly, because they can take forever if you don't. The Paradox Amplifier is then the last one. You get the base common one from Strikes, Crucible Matches, and Heroic Mercury Adventures. I found those really easy to collect as well. And then the advanced rare version comes the same way from Strikes, Crucible Matches, and Heroic Adventures. I would recommend, if you get a fire team, you can roll through those Heroics pretty easily. And they're, I think they're a lot of fun. I think they're worth doing more than once. The Crucible Matches, obviously. right now, I know some people are feeling burned out on Crucible, but that's obviously an easy way to farm them in quick play. So
the only other thing I really wanted to discuss today, actually, DMG of Bungie came out with a wonderful, wonderful post today. He's going to be talking about Masterworks and the changes they're going to make with those. He's also going to be talking about the mod system, and I just wanted to go over that stuff very, very quickly before we closed out this, because I think there's some things that players are going to be really, really happy to hear. So in terms of player acquisition and how you get Masterworks, he said they're implementing a new mechanism so that they can limit long dry spells and Masterwork drops due to bad RNG. They're also going to be looking at adding some guaranteed sources of Masterworks, but they're working on a broader plan to improve prestige activity rewards, so it might have to wait until then. They said they're going to be watching the overall drop rates and usage over the holiday, and they're going to adjust the drop rates and the material cost as needed. In terms of inventory management, they're going to be planning a fix for the Masterwork cores that aren't going to your postmaster if you're full on consumables. And to help prevent the accidental loss of Masterwork cores, we're extending the dismantle timer to give players a larger window to stop the process. So those things are things people have been asking about. Stat bonuses. Right now, the stat bonuses are small tweaks intended for players who want to optimize very deeply. They're watching for feedback and are excited to adjust or add more stat bonuses in the future. And once they have more information, they'll share plans. They do go over the fact that the in-game UI doesn't have a good way to show all the possible stat rolls. So he does list all the possible stat rolls. I recommend going on there and reading them for yourself. I don't particularly want to go over them. I don't think it's going to help you that much to just hear them read out, because there are quite a few of them. They're different for auto rifles, fusions, grenades, hang cans. Basically, every class of weapon has their own special things that can be modified. So you're going to be looking at quite a few different options there. There's about four of them for each type of weapon, and then two for swords, I believe. A second. So that's pretty cool that he went over that stuff. They also said Masterwork Armor. They've begun plans to add Masterworks to armor as well. The armor bonuses are going to be a lot more modest than Orb Generation, in part because you have five equipped at once instead of three. But at minimum, we want to provide a much requested mechanism to change the armor stat type. Thank you for the love of God. Finally, hopefully, I hope what this means is you're going to be able to change what the perks are on the armor that you can add resiliency or recovery or mobility or something like that. I really hope that's what it is. Fingers crossed. And then it says weapons and armor mods. We don't have an ETA yet, but feedbacks on weapon and armor mods has been heard. At minimum, we're looking to ease the inventory pressure by collapsing per slot or per class mods. So hopefully that means that instead of it saying solar abilities recharge faster when you have a solar subclass, it's now just class abilities recharge faster. That's what I'm hoping to hear. And it says we're also seeking to make mods a more meaningful part of your loadout decision, which probably means that they're trying to make mods hopefully have a little bit better bonuses. I've had the suggestion of doing raid-specific mods or trial-specific mods or stuff like that, or the ability to add more types of mods to weapons or more types of mods to armor. But we'll see how it goes. I'm just glad that they have heard our feedback. Basically, every complaint about Masterworks was addressed right there, and I'm very, very happy with that.
Yeah, I can't disagree there. This is really phenomenal. And you know, I totally missed this post, and I'm kicking myself now because I actually just updated the Destiny 2 mod guide on our website, but I didn't have complete data on Masterworks, so I just put in there what I knew, and now I'm gonna go in and update that table, because yeah, this is exactly what I was hoping for. So that's phenomenal. Really excited for the future of what they're going to do with mods and Masterworks. I hope that they just kind of go nuts and have fun with it and give us something that's really worth collecting and hunting for. That's my hope, and I'm sure that's their hope as well. So.
Well, that's basically it for me tonight. I did want to talk a little bit about the future. So obviously next week is Christmas. Monday is Christmas itself. We are probably not going to have a podcast. I believe you are going out of town, Kutch.
Yep.
I'm going to be with family. What we may do, I haven't totally decided if I want to or not, but I may do a little solo talk, just maybe 10 or 15 minutes. There's been a discussion that I want to have on balancing that I've wanted to do for a while, and I haven't really found a place to slide it into a podcast that we've done. But I want to discuss the differences between like top-down balancing, inside-out balancing, you know, stuff like that. There's a couple of different paths you can take. There's a couple of different ways the games have been balanced in the past, and I thought it'd be a pretty nice discussion for at least a few minutes. So maybe I'll do that next week. Maybe I'll just take the week off. At some point in the future, we are going to do some more, you know, weapon reviews. Try to do the Crucible weapons, try to do the Vanguard weapons. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff upcoming. Hopefully, the new year will bring us custom games. It'll make things a little bit easier to check and to test. I do still need to update the spreadsheet a little bit more. I need to start writing guides again. I said this on Twitter today, but I've just never had less motivation to go on Destiny the Game, the subreddit, and actually provide some type of meaningful content. I'm so sick of that place and its constant negativity. It's not just the negativity and the criticism that gets me. It's the aggressive, like militant negativity, calling for people's heads and just being insulting, calling people white knights and shills, and just the type of behavior that I wouldn't expect from the Destiny of the Game subreddit. It's gotten me so tired that I basically don't even read it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'll stop by once a day and look at the front page and be like, "Oh, it's still total shit," and then I'll leave. And it's just, I'm finding it extremely, extremely difficult to motivate myself to make any type of contribution to that place. But I'm kicking myself because I really should. I've been slow, I've been lazy, and I need to get back onto it. So hopefully at some point in time, I'll get back over there and keep contributing. But like I said, that's basically it for me tonight. If we don't see you next week, I hope you guys all have a very happy holidays, whatever holiday you are celebrating. I hope you guys get to spend the time with family and friends or some loved ones, pets, whatever it is. Maybe even Destiny friends. So we'll look at that. And that's it for me, guys. I'll say bye.
I'm just gonna reiterate everything you just said there. Happy holidays, whatever those holidays might be, even if there are no holidays at all. Hope you have a great end of the year and a great start to 2018. We'll We'll talk more then. Peace, Guardians.